Bon, da fayin ol, ayin alev, omer alev, ino na'ase ben tzorer umore, ad shiokal basar v'yishte yayin. Tana Rabbanan in the Brisa, we learn of kal kol ma'akal, v'lo akal basar, shata kol mashke, v'lo shata yayin, ino na'ase ben tzorer umore, ad shiokal basar v'yishte yayin. See, the Brisa says that the, almost the same lashon, that no matter what other things were eaten, such as we said yesterday, even if it was a Zveila Ki'ilis, and even if it were Dvash V'chalav, Dvarim HaMishakrim, nonetheless, there needs to be Basar V'yayin, and the Mishnah calls it a Zeich L'davar, Shnema Zolo V'sove, V'yapo Pishen Raya L'davar, Zeich L'davar, Shnema Ati V'sove, Yayin V'zole Le Basar L'omu. So we see that the Lashon of Zolel V'sove is specifically used in the sense of Yayin and Basar. Va'omer ki sovei v'zolel yivareish ukira'im talbish numa. Someone who is zolel v'sovei will become poor. In other words, the meaning of the relationship of what he's doing also involves the way in which he will be poor, and that's why we say yidon hashem sofo. He will need money to support his lifestyle, and in being a yivarech, he will end up being melastemet abriot, and he'll end up therefore a criminal and damaging to the world. We'll see in the closing mission of the sugya, the impact on the world is central. It's the nafkamina in the end of, in the final mission of the sugya, Mansur, is whether something is tov lahem or tov la'olam. So it's an impact not only on himself but on societies. In the Mela, we bring continuation of the Zolel and the Seve in terms of the Yayin V'Basar, that Sove V'Zolel is indeed Yivarech. Meanwhile, however, the end of the Pasuk is Ukraim Talbish Numa, that sleep will cover you in tatters. From Rabbi Zera, this can also be understood in terms of learning. Somebody who sleeps in the Beis HaMedrash, his Torah becomes tattered because he keeps missing pieces. So he has a tattered vision of things because he doesn't really pay attention the whole time. And then the pieces that he misses, he never really catches up and never forms a full picture. And so it's as if he's clothed in tatters. Ukraim talbish numa. They dozing off, or daydreaming, will clothe you in tatters. This is part of the general inyan, as the Chazon Ish brings this in terms of the concept of hasmoda. And when a person learns for a while, and he stops, and he learns, and he stops. So then his life essentially is a life of tohu, because everything, nothing has a real pattern to it. And so he's clothed in tatters. The only way to be kena teira is that he's marba v'yeshiva, and he has to have a sense of solidity and permanence in what he's doing, and then he can get, a picture of his life is left in tatters.
Sukta Halikamishna.
Ganav mishal aviv v'yachal brashut aviv. Now we're taking for granted over here that one of the things that the Ben Tzorer Moreh has to do is not simply eat, he has to steal in order to eat. Now, it doesn't say anything in the Torah B'Feirush by the Ben Tzorer Moreh that refers to stealing. It's a little bit strange that we should just take it for granted. The Gemara doesn't even address how do we know this. And the Yad Ramah says the truth is you can look at this in two ways. I mean, first of all, Mitzad HaSvara. If we say that the whole point here is that the boy is going to be stuck with habits that he can't support, and therefore he'll end up being molested at Briot, we have to see that it began with a willingness to take things in order to support his habits. It says otherwise, he'll run out of fuel, so he won't do it anymore. There needs to be something about what was done that was indicative of a future of a criminal, as the Mishnah says in the end. And then there's also Parshat Mitzvah Halacha. If the Pasuk is telling us that there's a V'yisru also, So where exactly would the basis of Malchus be that we could say that you're mechuyev for having been over? Only you had to have done something that is definable as a faith in the Torah. I mean, you can't say eating basar is a faith and drinking wine is a faith. I mean, it's a, you know, it may not be a preferred behavior, but why in the world would we possibly call it the Yisroel? So where's the Yisr? So it must be that in the context of doing this Zolel V'Soveh, that he was over on Yisurim. And the fact is that later on we see that the father and mother have to bring him, and they both have to say, Mashva, that what he did was something that affected us. Not just that he doesn't, because Bikolenu, specifically things that were Nogea, our feelings about things. Okay, so then that means that there needs to have been something that affected them directly, not only what he did to himself, but what he did to them. So we understand that the Geneva over here, which was the definable Isser, and it was directed against Aviv, the Imo. We'll see some Achlokas, so it has to be literally the money of Imo too. And that's the thing that will be Moshech. From which we can also understand that since the point over here is the habit and the way in which this thing becomes habit forming, so if he steals from his father and he eats the basar brishut aviv, which is not a relaxed kind of way to enjoy your drugs. I mean, if you're always worried your parents are going to bust into the room, you know, it's like not the kind of thing that you're going to do all the time. It's too iffy. So that's not a problem, because he won't be Moshe Chacharov if his father's going to bust into the room. If it's Michel Achirim, he steals money from other people, and then he takes his drugs, Vershut Achirim. That's also, I mean, it may be more pleasant, but it's not that easy to break into other people's houses again. It's always easier to steal money from your parents. And Michel Achirim, if he takes money Michel Achirim, well, that's not Motzilo. The Achal Bershut Aviv, and he does his shooting up in his father's house, which is not Noach, because he's boys, he's afraid. So there he has both Hesronos. He's not going to become a Ben Sorero Moreh. So Enona Aseh Ben Sorero Moreh, Achi Ignov Mishal Aviv, the Achal Bershut Aviv. So he's got to have it easy on both ends. He's got to steal from his parents, which is easy. And then he's got to shoot up in somebody else's Rishut, where his parents aren't going to catch him. I say it that way because Reb Moshe Zatzal has a tshuva about drugs that he bases on Ben Saramor. They ask him, you know, like, is there really an isser in taking drugs? This, you know, some yeshiva wrote him that he got a drug problem in the yeshiva. So is that an isser, or is it a public relations problem? You know? So you have to go through this sugya. There's a Ben Saramor. The problem is the creation of habits that are insupportable and end up becoming social problems, and besides that, as we just saw from the Pesukim, that it's self-destructive. So it's certainly included in that. Plus, you see from the Yisurin, that's the idea of here is the way that it breaks down relationships with parents. It's Goreim, in other words, Seino Eino Shamei Abdekoleinu, which is strangely part of the whole concept of the Ben. So Reu Moreh, it's the Ben. So it's a relationship that's the Reu Moreh. So this is certainly it's included in the general Azor that the Torah wants the person not to be Bezolei V'Soveh Yayin. Not to mention other elements, and certainly doesn't help for Kedesh and Tiyu, and it doesn't help you to concentrate on your davening, and it doesn't help you to be able to learn with a full application of your ability to think things through, and he brings, I guess, he got from his son-in-law, you know, some medical effects of marijuana, and he was talking about hashish. Anyway, so when I talk about it as a drug problem, it's because lemaisa has been applied in modern tshuvas as reflecting directly on the issue of drugs. So we're not chayav, therefore, says the Gemara, until he has it easy, taking the money, and not fearful in terms of shooting up. Since it's an enem b'shomeh b'kolenu, it has to involve the money, both of the mother and the father.
So if he just did for the mother, then he is
a... He's not a ben sarah, right. Ganam mishal aviv, v'yachal brushut aviv. What's wrong with that? Because afagav v'shchiakli, even though it's easy for him to steal, but bois, he's afraid. You can't really enjoy yourself when you're afraid, and therefore it's not going to be moshech. On the other hand, if he steals mishal acherim, v'yachal brushut acherim, afagav v'lo bois, even though he's not afraid, but lo shchiakli. It's not something that's easy to get hold of. The koshi came, mishal acherim, certainly stealing from other people and then shooting up Rosh Aviv, which is neither shchiyak, plus it's also bois, it's got the worst of both worlds. You need the best of both worlds. You need to steal from your parents and be yokal Rosh Aviv. And over there, it's shchiyak lei, velo bois. Then we have the problem of nim shachachara. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda omer achi ignov mishal aviv umishal imo. Think about imo minola. When we say his mother's money, so where would his mother have money, since normally the way that the Ketubah defines things, it would be mashkanta isha kana ba'ala. So how, I mean, it wouldn't be his mother's money, really. Omer Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, well, it could be a su'uda, a mulchanet la'aviv, l'imo. Maybe they set the table, and the stakes are out on the table, and he raises the stakes. And that would be his mother's portion, so he's stealing from his mother. Says, how could that be? The Omer of Yitzchanan bar Molada, by the way, does it really belong to his mother at this point? So now that he raised the stakes to his mother, doesn't the Baal, isn't he mechuyev now to see to it that the mother has his meal? I mean, still a chiyuv, so it's not really her money because it wasn't coming out of her pocket. So it's replaceable as far as she's concerned. It says achray, see that she gets to eat, not that there's a steak on the plate, but there's a steak in her belly. So the point over here seems to be that we're talking about something that would affect his mother directly. That's the point. In other words, if he holds an enushamiya b'koleinu, I'm about to sit down and have my steak, and there's nothing on the plate, then still, and then it should be the kolena. It doesn't matter technically whether he's going to need to replace it and so on, but it's still taken. We shall be with Mishal Mimo.
This is reminiscent of the sugya by Pilat Matzah, where the women from the women's yoytze or children on yoytze from the yoytze matzah.
Very, very loosely, to say the least.
But
that was not reminiscent. So Omer Rabuna, in Ochayim, so how could you say that it's talking about that he actually took the food if we just learned yesterday that Omer Rabchana bar Molada, Omer Rabuna, in Ochayim, she ikneh batzar bezol, v'yokal yayin bezol v'yishteh. V'yokal rather, and yayin bezol v'yishteh. So it's only if he actually bought it. And the buying of it and the involvement and the getting the deal is all part of being a macher. I mean, what's the point of stealing a steak? The fun of it is the engagement. And the engagement requires me to get the best deal. So that's not going to explain how it is that I have a ben sora or mora who took from his mother. You're right. We don't mean he took the steak. He took money that had been set aside for a su'udah. So his mother is already shayechet b'gava. And therefore when he takes it, it's taking from the kitty that was supposed to supply her food to. Anybody same was it? I mean, the simpler explanation is, it's possible, if you hold like that man yomar, that someone else gives her money. And so they give you this money on condition that your husband doesn't have rishus on it. I mean, it's not to mention that it's possible that his parents aren't even married. I mean, it doesn't say anywhere that his parents are married, as we pointed, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, in the next sugya. So it just says aviv v'imo. I mean, who's to say aviv v'imo had any connection with each other? So the question is, only question, what would be the norm, what we're talking about? But it's certainly not a problem, even if you don't hold like the Man Yomer, who says that it should make a difference if you're saying the Baalei or should be. We're just saying the Rav, that's how the meal to section. No, we do. The Mark just pointed that out yesterday in the sukkah. As a matter of fact, the Yerushalmi makes a big point of that. Here in our Gemara, it was just Rabbi Shimon that we had. Rabbi Shimon, we learned that was because Rabbi Shimon is Darish Tamid Akras, and he says, in Yisad Asfara, you would say that a daughter is more shyest than being Asara Mora because she's more likely to engage in prostitution to support her habit, and that's going to be more Mikalko the world, because she's going to draw other people in. Mashenkin is going to be molesting with Abriyot, but what can you do? This is the way the Torah said it, since it exists a cause. But the Rishami points out that a lot of things here are counterintuitive. Because if you're talking about the Chumra of the way that the Torah would view what it is that a person is doing, I mean, is it more likely, first of all, it brings this issue about the daughter. And besides that, I mean, if I would ask you, like, a kid who steals from his father, or a kid who steals from the neighbors, which one is more common? Well, obviously the kid steals from the neighbor. I mean, every kid steals from the father. I mean, you know, find wallets, I got a little money. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, what's it there for anyway? You know? So, I mean, you certainly wouldn't think that that's more common. It goes to a number of other issues in the Ben Sorero Moreh, which seem to be counterintuitive. I'm sure you've been margish yourself. Elements that are counterintuitive. So the whole thing is essentially a gzerat hakatzuv that's forcing us to look almost in a laboratory fashion at particular elements of relationship to chinuch, the way his parents can be machanes. We'll see, we haven't seen all of these elements yet, but they get crazier as we go. It's almost as if the Torah is creating an impossible scenario, as the Gemara will point out. But all laboratory experiments are impossible scenarios. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take away all external issues that could confuse us by introducing other factors that we don't want to deal with. And let's only deal with an artificial situation, which we literally call that's a laboratory situation. It's not part of nature. But it is part of nature in the sense that even though it won't happen in nature, it's allowed us to isolate the element that we feel is central. And that's always what is so important about dealing with scientific results, because statistical elements are central in understanding those results. The more elements you have, the more confusing the statistics are. So people reach very strange conclusions because they don't know how to evaluate statistics. It's one of the easiest things to fool people in all types of silly conclusions because they're not aware of the number of different elements. So the Torah, you know, all of the crazy things that you know, that you see, all the beliefs that you see today, they're all backed with very powerful statistics to people who have no idea how statistics work. And it's like totally persuasive. And you'll have people saying absolutely crazy things, but backing them up with the most incredible statistics. So what the Torah is trying to do over here is to create an experiment that it will remain a thought experiment, essentially, but through which we can isolate elements and then bring them into the real world, which is called Drosh V'Kabel Sachar, to know how it is that we can live life in a real way now that we understand what these elements would be like on a theoretical level in a laboratory situation. Don't do it that way, and there's absolutely no way to address this. Because I cannot address to you the issue of Ben Sorero Moreh without stripping away all other considerations. So now the next issue that the Mishnah discusses, where it starts getting clear that this thing is crazy, Haya Aviv wrote
the Mishnah.
You did that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Oh, gosh. Yes, you say it once again.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ellie, I'm sure that you enjoy that. And Ellie listens to this stuff every day until he says to hear Sabra Josh's voice in the background. It's such a joy. So, Haya Aviv Rotse, V'imo Ina Rotsa. His father wants to take him to Beis Din. His mother doesn't want. Or, Aviv Eino Rotse, V'imo Rotsa. Which is, again, totally crazy. In other words, you would think that if you're trying to deal with a Ben Sorero Moreh, that we should be talking about witnesses coming forward and saying, we got to get rid of this kid. And the parents coming and saying, no, our dear child, he's really wonderful, give us another chance and he'll be okay, and we've got a special psychologist working on the case and so on. And that's what you think, right? And yet the Torah is only being mechayev in a case where both father and mother have agreed we got to get rid of this kid. Now what, you know, when is that going to happen? Rabbi Yehuda Omer? Rabbi Yehuda says, what's worse than that? Im lo hayta imo ru'uya la'aviv. If his mother isn't appropriate, suited for his father, then he wouldn't be a ben sorer mora. So the Gemara, now what do you mean when you say not suitable? You mean that the marriage is an unsuitable marriage in the halacha? So what, like she's chayvei kritut or chayvei mitot beidin? Maybe she's his own mother. I don't know. But who cares? Did the Torah ever say that his parents were married? I mean, so why would marriage be an issue? They said, Aviv v'imo. It's what it says in the Torah. Is this a biological father and mother? Yes or no? Just answer. What do I care what relationship they have to each other? This is Aviv v'imo. So. Abua ninu. V'imei ninu. His father is his father. His mother is his mother. So that can't be what it means. So the only thing that it can mean is something crazy. Meaning, Einaru Uya, she's not a good match. Her voice is different. She's a different height. She looks different. You know, he's got a long beard, you know. She's got a smooth face. She looks different. I mean, you don't want to marry somebody who looks different than you, do you? So, therefore...
We are talking about the mother?
Yeah. I'm being a little facetious. But the point is that she has to be a perfect match. Sometimes they've got to speak alike. They've got to sound alike. They have to be the same height. What, are we going to have Abbott and Costello over here? And so if you're talking about a situation in which it's Einenu Shomea B'Koleinu, they have to be speaking with one voice. And you know, children always figure out where they can insert that little screwdriver to pull apart the one voice. It should be two voices. If it's two voices, then already there's not a high of them anymore. That's right. So they're brilliant at this, right? So over here, it's got to be, again, a laboratory case, which is really one voice. How could they speak in one voice? I mean, she looks totally different, you know. She's got a different expression when she says it. She doesn't mean it in the same way he means it. And so, Mamela, it's got to mean that she's not Shavela Aviv Kama. Tanya Amiyaki, that's what Rav Yehuda meant, as we see from the Braisa. The Braisa says it openly. Rav Yehuda Omerim, Lo Hayata Imo Shavela Aviv Bekol. She has to sound like him. Vamara. She has to look like him. Uvkoma. They've got to be the same height. Eno Naase Ben Sorer Umore. There's no way that he can be a Ben Sorer Umore. It was a gay family, obviously. My time. Yomakra eneno shomea bikolenu. So it's got to be one call. Now, if it's one call, binikol beinan shalim, it has to sound the same to him. So obviously, I mean, it has to have the same context of the call. So if you need mar'e bikol manami beinan shalim. We're going to have people that are speaking in the same voice, but that look totally different, have a completely different outlook on life. I mean, that's not one voice. That's just, they happen to be saying the same words, but it certainly doesn't mean the same thing, does it?
Why is that obvious? Why would that be Mizai for Kolenu only in Kolenu?
Because this is the Gemara, not Barnea. That's why. Keman hazo hadatanya ben sorero morel lo hayav lo atid lihiot. Who is the author of the Brisa that says, a ben sorer umore, ain't never been such a thing, ain't never gonna be such a thing. V'lama nechtav, why then did the Torah write it? Only drosh v'kapel sachar, only in order that you should be able to understand from it things that will be meaningful, will give you sachar. Kiman, who would then be the author of that? It could only be Rebbe Yehuda. Because the conditions that Rebbe Yehuda is placing on the ben sorer umore are just so unreasonable that were you going to have a case of literally the same coal, or that they should be shavim mamish? I mean, so where would you have a ben sorer umore? That's a very cute box who says, I mean, after all, if they really are shavim, then obviously this guy's got a little bit of a problem with his testosterone, right? So how did he have a kid? Or vice versa, she obviously has got some problems with her hormones. And in which case, if she's coming along with a long beard that matches the father, so he takes it very, very literally, right? So how could he be a ben sorer umore? He wouldn't be a ben. All right, so it doesn't seem reasonable that such a thing could actually happen. Or the truth is, says the Gemara, Ibai Seima, it doesn't necessarily only work out according to Rabbi Yehuda. We like Rabbi Shimon also, the Tanya. Omar Rabbi Shimon. I just want to ask, let's be a little reasonable. Two parents, they see their kid eating a jumbo steak, and he took the money out of their wallet. Do you really believe that the next thing they do is go to court and say, we want him hung? Is there such a thing in the world? Can there be such a thing? So, avivi imomo tzimoto lesaklo? Such a thing is insane. How could such a thing occur? So when a parent says, I want to kill you, we now know what it means. He wants to kill you. The Torah actually gives him away. Omar Rabbi Yonatan. That's all very interesting that theoretically there was no such thing. I just want you to know, Aniri Tivi Ashafi Akivro. I actually saw Ben Sora Omora, and I sat on his kever. Now that's a big problem, because it's also to sit on the kever. And in fact, there's a lot of discussion, the Bach, the Shach, what does this mean? Because it's a din in Loeg Larash to sit on a kever. They say the Ashafi Al Kivro means Al in the sense of Liyad. I sat down next to his cover to, you know, to study. That's where the thinker was taken. You know, the pose. He was Liyad Kivro.
Over in my round.
What?
I thought in the
Myra
over the cover.
I didn't believe it's not called Al Kivro.
The Moshe is called the Yeshiva Al Kivro.
Yeah, that's what they use the Lashon. The Yeshiva Al Kivro does not mean on the Myra. That's the whole, that's the rhyme that they bring. When you make Yeshiva Al Kivro, it means Liyad Kivro, obviously. It doesn't mean Al Kivro Mamish.
In
Beit Shani,
the amphitheater is over the cave.
Fine. But that has nothing to do with it. But here it's Lashon Kevra Mamish. There's many examples of Al being Al Basamuk. We just talked about that when we went to the Lashonis of Al, but here it's Al Kivro, which is a general sense, not limited to Beit Shearim. When we talk about Moshe Ru Yeshiva Al Kivro is a halach, it doesn't mean we go to Beit Shearim, we put somebody in the ground under the stadium, obviously.
Speaking of life over time, his ringing, there was one.
Whoa. Start this, please, again. You say something about the life of Brian?
In the life of the son, he dreamed of 25 years. There was one execution.
No.
He called it a bloody son, he dreamed.
Ah.
So, I don't know how many people he saw.
Well, he saw the one. Remember, I mean, meteor the size to wipe out dinosaurs only hits the Earth once every 100 million years or so. I mean, it could happen tomorrow. And then we'd be the dinosaurs. Yeah. So he would say, okay. So the question over here is Rabbi Yonason actually being chaylik under Rabbi Yonason? Or is he using the word, I know of Ben Sora Omora, not in the sense that the parents actually took him into bed and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I know of Ben Sora Omora, like Avshalom. Yeah, in other words, Ben Sora Omora there is. Don't say there's no Ben Sora Omora. Shaila, whether literally it means Ben Sora Omora that fits the categories as required by Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Maybe that's cool for what he's saying. I saw, this is how some learn. It's a little bit of a problem because it says the same thing by Yoni Dachas. But what he's saying is, I saw, don't think that it's not applicable. In other words, the elements that we were going to apply in terms of Drosh V'Kabel Schar are real. They really make sense in their effect on people. There are Ben Sora Omoras. Keman also had a tiny, how about we have the same thing about Yoni Dachat? But Yoni Dachat lo hayitav lo atida liyot. It can't be such a thing as Yoni Dachat. Now, what would be the problem of such a thing? That would be Rebbe Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer points out that if there's a single mezuzah in this town, I mean, not to mention there's a Sefer Torah, Chumash, somebody's got tefillin, but even in a very irreligious town, I mean, somebody's got a mezuzah, right? Now, in the mezuzah, it's got the Shem Hashem. Are you allowed to burn the Shem Hashem? No. So the Torah is not time. Mama Kravet Kosh Lalati Grosatok Chava. That you're supposed to bring everything there and put it and burn it. The Sarat of Age. The Kima de Yika Mizuzah Lo Efsha. Can you burn Kol Shilala if the mezuzah is in it? No. Shemar Lo Tasim Kein Hashem Elokechem. So it's impossible that there should be. What? How are you going to find a city that doesn't have a single mezuzah in the whole town?
Does that have to be written by Kosh
Shilala? No. Omar Rabbi Yonatan Anir Itia. I saw one. Yashavti Altila, I was even sitting on the tail of the Yirani Vahat. That's a tail, not with a T, but with an E. Tail. So I sat on the tail of an Yirani Vahat, so that there really is such a thing. Rabbi Yonatan really gets around. Keman Ozwa
Adetanya. You had a nod from that?
No, that's for sure. No.
Sitting on the tail.
He was thinking. Do we have the same thing, interestingly enough, by the din of a bayit hamenuga? And there too it says such thing can't be. So that's going, would only work out according to Rabbi Shimon, who has strict criteria for what defines a bayit hamenuga that are difficult to believe that they could be filled. Tetznan Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Leolam, Ein habayit tamei, the only way that you could actually have a bayit hamenugah, since the Torah speaks in terms of bekir habayit, that is shafel min hakir, and on the other hand it says bekirot habayit, so that means that there has to be a halachic definition of a nega, which is a shear of degrees, that is a single nega, but that appears in two places at once, so it's actually two grease, in a way that would allow it to be at the same place in the house. It would have to be in a corner, across two avanim, which would then be kirot, and it would be a single nega that would extend the kigris al shnei grisim, so it would extend over the two kirot around the corner. My time in Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon, k'tiv kiru, k'tiv kirot. Where is a kir, a kirot? Only if it's a keren zavit. So the keren zavit is itself a kir. That's the corner. It's a corner wall. It's a corner wall consists of two pieces. And so it's difficult to believe that you find such a thing. But here too we find, Tanya, Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Tzadok, makom haya betchum Aza. There was a place around Aza. They used to call it the churva. It was a lot that was segirta, so everybody understood that it was from a bayit haminuga. Because segirta was a bayit that was muzgar, that had been torn, they took out the avanim, and they buried it there, and since it's metame, so they wanted people to know that it was a place that was, you know, churvata segirta. That's where they had this house. And Rabbi Shimon Yishkvar Akko says, indeed, Pamachat Alak the Galil, Varita Makom Shemitzainiroto, I saw a place that had, it was marked off, danger, no entry, and so on. And it was marked for Tuma, Vamu Avanim and Ugaot Pinunasham, that was a place they had buried. The Avanim that they had been Cholet Menakir, which are Metami. And so obviously there's got to be such a thing, or how would it happen?
Why wouldn't just a smart Jew say, I need to bury my money somewhere, I'll bury it, I'll say it was
an excellent approach. You know, Barnea, I'm sure you'd be interested in the Dia de Biscova, which is clearly Aza as part of Eretz Yisrael. Because since you can't have a bayit hamenugah unless it's the beit eret achuzatchem, so that means that the land of the plishtim must be achuzatchem, which ties in with the pasuk of Yehoshua where it says the sanei plishtim are considered to be miknan yechashvu. So they are viewed as having the same din as coming from Eretz Canaan.
This reminds me of happened by Zvisha, because these things didn't happen by Shem.
You just
kept it, huh?
What do you mean? The mice could have happened at any time. The question is when the house had been there.
Right.
He didn't see the house. He saw the korva.
He saw the korva.
He saw the lot, but they called the korva. I don't know. It might have been 1,000 years old for all we know. But the point is, it was in Aza, and that means that all these questions about the nature of Eretz Plishtim in terms of Eretz Yisrael, it's clear from here that I have the full dinner for Kedushas Haaretz, as Zuk the
Heilige Mishnah.
Hayachad miyem gideir. Now, suppose one of the parents was missing an arm. O chiger, or was lame. O ilaim, or was dumb. O sumar, blind, or perish, or deaf. In any of these cases, eino nasa ben sarero more. Shinema v'tafsubo aviv v'imo. They have to grab him. His parents have to grab him. How are they going to grab him if they don't have hands? And it says, v'tzio, so they say, drag him. So obviously they have to be able to walk. How are they going to drag him? So they can't be seedrin, they can't be lame. And then it says, v'amru, they say to the court, v'neinu zeben, if that's the case, then they can't be dumb. And then they have to be able to point to him. There's a zeb, v'neinu zeb. How do they see him if they're blind? So he can't be sumi. And enu shomea bekolenu, he doesn't hear what we're saying to him. How do they know? I mean, they've got to be open to response, so they can't be charashim. Then the first step is matrin bo b'tnei shlosha b'alkinata. So first they warn him that what he's doing is going to lead to his end, and that they do in front of the bezdin. It's mashma here, and then the bezdin is malakehim, so it's because it's v'yisruoto, and then if and only if after they were malkinoto chazar v'kilkel, he then goes back and he's mekalko in the same way, then nidon besim shlosha, then he needs a full bezdin of 23. Veino niskal achiv shem shlosha rishonim, but three of those 23 have to be the three people that were in the Bezdin that had originally been Malakim. Shenema Benenu Zed. You remember this point. Zer Shalaka Bifnechem. Oh, he's back.
So
if you had their... Shmami Na, says the Gemara. So wait a minute. You're telling me that because it says they have to grab him, so be'ina and krokhi dechtim. In other words, you're saying a pasuk is meant to be very literal. I mean, we had that. It's a very... much of a machlokas earlier on in the Masechta about does a pasuk mean that it's literally has to be mekuyama as it says? So in other words, if somebody doesn't have a thumb, there's no way he can become tohar as a mitzvah, and you can't put it on the place of the thumb. I mean, and a lot of examples of this. How strictly defines a word and a process that, you know, it can't be done literally. Here it's mashma. The Mishnah is taken for granted. Every single word here means literally. They grabbed him, so they need both of their arms, and they drag him. They need both of their legs. In Shemami, not being a kaki dechtiv, right? No, not right. Because the whole pasuk doesn't make any sense. It's like poetic. So shiny achra to kule kroyeterohu. Where else does it say with a chi of skila that they grab him and they drag him, and I mean, all it says is, but say demoto shara iruska demoto bavanim. That's all. So what do you need this whole thing? They have to grab him and they have to drag him and then they have to say this and it. So that means that there's coming from now, over here, we're trying to create a very unique situation in which the din would be carried out only because of this. Now, there's different explanations. Again, because the drosh v'kabel schar is purely in terms of drosh. But the drosh v'kabel schar, what's the problem if one of them is a finger? Well, we can understand there's multiple problems. Now, one of those problems is that it's difficult for a handicapped parent to raise a child that has the same relationship to them as a non-handicapped parent. And there's always a sense in which the child is more independent because the parent is to some extent dependent on the child. And this is a very common thing. A child grows up in a non-hearing home. But it creates tremendous warp in the terms of the chinuch, where a child is needed to care for a parent who can't walk, and so on and so forth. Okay, so there's elements of that in the chinuch. Some suggest, a very interesting suggestion, that parents who are handicapped are cruel. cruel in the sense that they're more, they had to deal with life in a way that demanded of them no compromises. But instead of getting involved in my own handicap, I have to be strong. When a person gets strong like that, they make very intense demands on others because they expect them to be strong. They don't have patience for your being spoiled. Or just look at me. You know, you don't see me lying around in bed, and I don't have legs. You know, so what are you doing lying around in bed? So it's the cruelty per se that is more likely to be found in such a parent means that they can't call him a Ben Sorel Moret. And then you can see the other elements. It's a very interesting thing to find the nature of a handicapped parent should change the whole concept of the chinuch, the Torah of use, in whatever direction. Umatrin b'pnei shalosha. Now, how do we need, what does this mean, matrin b'pnei shalosha? Why do we need three people to warn him in front of? I mean, why can't they just warn him? I mean, this is not Hasra in the sense of a normal Hasra. He's already done what he did. This is just, this is a clear-cut denunciation and warning of where this is going to lead him. It has nothing to do with the concept of Hasra and the Torah. So all we need, basically, is for someone to be there that can report to the Beis Din of Esrei Mishlosha that we followed the rules. The rules were the child has to be warned. Look, the next time you do this, you're going to be taken out to be stoned. So somebody has to tell the Beis Din, yes, we were there when that was done. Where do we find this halacha in Beis Din that the warning has to be done in front of Beis Din? So betray sag, it would be enough that there's two people there, and those two people could be the Aiden. That's true. You're misunderstanding the point here. The Mishnah only means matrinbo, that would be b'fnei shtayim, so you should have Adis, and then Malkinoto b'fnei shlosha, and then when it's said over here, you bring him in front of the Beis Din, that doesn't mean for the Hasra. So when it says yivi'u b'fnei shlosha, it's talking about that is the time that he's mechuyev Malkus. Where does Malkus come from, by the way? Does it say anywhere by a Ben Sorel More Malkus? Malkus, the Ben Sorel More Hechektiva? Says the Gemara, it does indeed. Because if you note Rabbi Avu's drasha, Rabbi Avu was interested in knowing why a Motzi Shemra gets Malkus. Where does it say? We give Malkus to the Motzi Shemra if it turns out that he was Motzi Shemra. What's the mocker of it? Says Rabbi Avu, because by Motzi Shemra it says, V'lachuzik ne'a irata ish v'yisru ozo. Now we learn out v'yisru oto by Motzi Shemra from the v'yisru oto from Ben Sorer Umore. That a Ben Sorer Umore means literally v'yisru oto in the sense of Malkus, I know that because of the Lashon of Ben. It says Ben Sorer Umore, and by the din of Malkus in the Torah, it says Vaya im bin hakot harasha. So that means that we learn out this Ben from Bin, and that is the bin hakot harasha, which brings us back to Bin to Ben to Yisru to the Yisru by Motzi Shemra. But meanwhile, we see we're taking it for granted in Rabbi Abu's drasha that the Ben Sorer Umore certainly is by the Yisru. By the way, we took this for granted yesterday. When we talked about Shlomo HaMelech Lemuel, and he said it was a Lashon of Yisurin, that his mother was Miyatzer, we said, so that means she must have tied him up to the Amud, like they do in Beis Din, and beaten him, because that's what the Yisru means. So that was based, really taking for granted, this drush of the word. Chazar v'kilkel nidon be'esrim shlosha. And then the Mishnah says, and three of them have to be the judges in the original case that had taken him out to be miyatzer him. But how do we know that? I thought we used the pasuk. You said we know it because it's b'neinu zeh. See, this same boy, he's back. But b'neinu zeh means, we used earlier, that they must be able to point and identify him, which means that they cannot be blind. So how do we use it for both things? Don't we need this to tell me him, which means that they can't be blind? No. There's two separate issues over here. We're coming both to identify the boy. Now that's important. To identify the boy, we could have said, Benenu hu sorero more. If it would have said, Benenu hu sorero more, we would say to ourselves, well, what's the point? Just say, B'neinu Zerei Omorim. What do you mean, B'neinu Hu? So B'neinu Hu already means, hey, you know this kid already. Well, he's back. So that we would know, even if it said that. If it changes it to say, B'neinu Zerei, if there's an additional point over here. Not only do I expect that you know who he is, but I am expected to have a point to him when I say that. If I'm blind, I can't point to him. So therefore, my B'neinu Zerei, Shema Amino Tzarte. We see, therefore, both the Yukim from the Pasuk. Now suppose Barach HaTshalon Nigmar Dino. Suppose now the boy runs away before the Bezin completes the din. And we know we don't complete a din, not in front of the accused. And he knows that he's got a very, very short window of opportunity to be shot here. So he figures all he has to do is hide out till biology takes its course. So he's Barak Achelonimar Vinova Kharkak, he keeps Akana Takton. And now he comes back and he says, I'm a man. Now you can't touch me. So he's potter. It's great. The imishinigmardino barak. However, suppose they'd already passed in on him, and then they're taking him out to the base of Skila, and he runs and comes back, Vyahakaki keeps a kana tachton. Then he's chayav, because once it was already psaked in, then it's just a matter of carrying it out. It's no longer a question of defining him as the Ben Sarero Morat. That's what he is. Omer Rabbi Chanina, we have a similar issue. In that a Ben Noach who was Mavreich at Hashem, the Acharkach Nitgayer. That's right. Since when he becomes a Yisrael, so now he has a completely different din, if he would be before. We can't apply the din that we would apply to him as a Ben Noach, because Hoyel V'nishtaneh Dino V'nishtaneh Mitato. Now he's Chayev Skila. Before he was, would have been Chayev either Saif or Chenev, depending on who you hold. That's a Chachon or Rabbi Shimon. Good morning, sweet. But also, the whole mode of how we would have arrived at the din is different. I mean, we didn't require a Beis Din, a Beis Din, a Mishlosha. We didn't require two witnesses. We could have accepted all kinds of other Psulei Edus and so on. So, what it means that what the din that we'd be applying now is an entirely different din than we would be applying before. It's very interesting because this ties into this week's parsha. Because you have a serious issue with the Rambam. The Rambam, remember, learns that the reason, we discussed this earlier when we were talking about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in terms of dinim, the reason that Shimon and Levi killed everyone in Shechem was because they had not reacted to the rape of Dina, and they are all responsible for executing Dinim. So therefore they were all basically responsible for a breakdown in the application of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And this was kidnapping and therefore was punishable. The question is, how then could they have made an offer of Mila that could be taken seriously? You're saying, if you will be Nemo and be like us, right? Well, they were Nemo, but they weren't being like us. But suppose they would have actually been Nemo and been like us.
Converted?
Yeah, they would have literally converted. Mashma, that then they would have been able to accept him. So it means, according to the Rambam, there had to have been a heter to accept him and not be Machayim. Right? So this would be the heter, because it would be Nayah. And now they would, but now they would have different dinim. So the male wouldn't think. I mean, Tosfos actually brings from what do you do about the question of, there's a machlokas that we brings here from Yevamos. Why are gerim miserable? So one man the Amar says they're miserable because they've been over on the Sheva Mitzvahs and they know it. Right? But the other man the Amar says no, they couldn't be miserable about that because gershin is geir kachatan shenola dami. And therefore, he's not responsible for what he's like a new person. So if he's a new person, so then he doesn't have any of the previous chiyuvim. So maybe this whole sugya now, Rabbi Chanina's talk, is just ignoring that whole issue. And that was about what he's done with him. If he's a kikotik shenor ladami, so it's not kamina, it's nishtana, dino, it's a different person.
He was always a bear.
That's right, he starts over.
Yeah, but he still has the memories.
Who cares?
If that's what he's
no.
No.
No. No. No. No. No. That's not the truth. So why over here do we need to be matzer the not matzer but patzer the guy because of his change in din? It's because it's a different thing. So Tosis explains that the din of kiger of kikotik shenolad is in terms of dinei shamayim, not in terms of bezdin. Bezdin would still have the responsibility of acting out the chiyuvim, which they had before. I mean, Bezdin is responsible for Ben, is responsible for Ben Noach. What do you say now? Because he's spiritually different. I mean, he has the same protoplasm, as far as we can tell. I mean, we're not in the soul business; we're in the body business, and therefore we would touch him. So we need to have Rabbi Chanina's halacha that was nishtana dina. So then the question is, if that's the case according to the Ramban, then Shimon v'Levi were also Bnei Noach. Because we didn't have yet a din of Yisrael before, right? So what was Matir and what would have been the Hetzer? I'm just bringing out the issues that are very contemporary since this week's parasha.
But Hashem is a whole piece on who was the din of Bnei Noach.
Yeah.
But it had to be okay, and because Yaakov was afraid, and the Jewish king will do something, and they didn't because they understood.
They did. Certainly did. He had to fight them off. Somebody had to clean up the mess.
Didn't Kohen
Paul
say that regarding Bin Laden, he said, my job isn't to forgive him, that's God's job. My job is just to arrange the meeting sooner.
Name of Misael. So Lechora, the reason we're bringing this up here is we have a riot from our Mishnah. So this idea, Barak HaChalonik Mardino. Here it says, the Ben Sorel Moreh runs away, comes back, he keeps a kanatachton, patur, my time. Why is he patur? Why isn't he chayev for this previous avera? Lavi shun de armin and hoel ve'ishtani ishtani. Is it not because we say, well, we've got a different situation now? No. Shining up the case over here is that it's ishtani in the sense that he's not even chayev on it at all. I mean, over here, if the same boy would now do what he did, we wouldn't be behind him anything. Because he's already over the window. So if he's over the window, he can't be a Ben Sorel Moreh. The Yavan Hash, the Lav Bar Ktala, if he would have done what he did, he wouldn't have been Chayav Nisa. How can we now be Machayav him? When he's in a state in which the Avera that he did doesn't even make any sense. Says, well, what did I do? You don't like me eating steaks? What do you want me to do? Become a veggie? So become a vegetarian. I mean, the whole thing is a joke to try to apply it now. But what Rabbi Chanina was saying is that Ben Noach has the same chiyuv, really, of Birchas Hashem as the Yisrael does, right? And the only difference is in how we would be metapel in it. And he's saying a much bigger kiddush. He's saying the difference in tipul means that I cannot deal with him now according to those rules. And what he did at that time was subject to a different set of rules. Therefore, I cannot apply what's now to them. That's what he said. Now, how do you see that from our Mishnah? You don't. okay, wait a minute. Maybe we can even prove the opposite. Tashma, im mishinig mardino barach, ve'achar kachi kiv sakanat achon chayav. We see just the opposite. You carry out the psak even though things have changed. What does that have to do with it? Nigmar dino kachi. Bring me a case where it was nigmar dino. Nikmadino Gavra Katelo, there he's a dead duck, basically. We just have to carry it out. The point that Rabbi Chanina was making was never had anything to do with Nikmadino. He was questioning whether you could now come to be done him, not whether you can apply a din that exists. What's the comparison? Forget about our mission. It's nothing to do with this issue, Bichla. Let's see if we can bring a riot from the Brisa. Tashma. Benoach shehikat chaveiro. A Benoach who murders a friend. Or he's Baal Eshet Chaviro, he sleeps with his neighbor's wife, Goyim. Now, Vinit Gayer, if he now becomes a Ger, he's Potter. Why? Because, apparently, what he did then would have one Chiyuv, and what he would do now, he would have a different Chiyuv. Because it says, Asak came to Israel, suppose the person that he murdered as a Goy was a Jew. Or the woman that he slept with was married to a Jew. And then he's Nitgayer. So now he's Chayev.
Why is now he chayav? According to Rabbi Hanina, he's not chayav because it's a different chiyav misa. Name a oil the ishtani, ishtani. Why don't we say that oil the ishtani, ishtani, and then now he needs a bezin of esrim shloshim, needs to kosher aid him, and he needs asra, and so on. I mean, so that's oil the ishtani, ishtani. Ah, says more. No. Because when he said oil the ishtani, ishtani, what did he say? He said, it wasn't only the way in which we arrive at the Chiyav Misa, it was also what the Chiyav Misa was. But in this case, what is the din of a Ben Noach who murders? Science. What is the din of a Jew who murders? Science. So it didn't change, the Misa didn't change. Only the way in which we would arrive at the Misa change, that's not a complete change that Rabbi Hanina was referring to. So Rabbi Hanina could agree that in this case we would apply what the din was earlier because it's the same fee of Misa. Over here, the chiyav didn't change. What do you mean the chiyav didn't change? Bishlema Rotseach, understand when it comes to the Rotseach, it didn't change because as a Ben Noach, he's chayav sayev. And as a Jew murdering now, he would also be chayav sayev. But Eishes Ish is a Ben Noach. He was chayav sayev, and now he's chayav chedek. Ah, true. But you know what this Eishes Ish is talking about? It's talking about a Nara Murasa. And we said before, a Nara Murasa, because the concept doesn't appear in a Ben Noach, then the application of the Misa could only be the application that's given to a Yisrael, even though he's a Ben Noach. So, there too we have Nishtana Dino, but not Nishtana Mitato. So it works out, both cases work out. Doesn't work out, because Ha'asa came to Yisrael. What's the price of contrasting? Had he done this act, be Yisrael, I mean, so in other words, the first case is he does it to a Goy. Second case is, or the same thing, but to a Yisrael. Now, hold on a second. Is there a concept of a Nara Murasa by a Goy? No such thing. She needs to be Bu'ulat Baal. She cannot be a Murasa. Remember? It doesn't exist. Concept doesn't exist. Which is precisely why, if he's Baal and Nara Murasa, he's Chayav Skila, even though he's a Ben Noach, because that's the whole idea. You see? There's no such thing for me. I'm only the getter Yisrael. So now if I'm contrasting what I did as a goy to a goy and what I did as a goy to a Yisrael, it's got to be contrasting a case that is the same case by the Yisrael or by the goy. There is no equivalent case by a goy as a Nara Murasa. The only way he could have slept with a Nara Murasa is if he slept with a Jewish woman. So therefore, it can't be talking about that case because the first part is the same as the second part. They're parallel. The first part being what he did with a Goyish woman, the second part being what he did with a Jewish woman, has got to be the same case. Therefore, it's got to be referring to an Eishes Ish, a normal Eishes Ish, and that, again, we go back to our problem. That was Besayet, and now as a Jew, he's going to be Chayav Chenek. And so, no, we have an Ishtani Mitato. This seems to be a proof against Rabbi Hanina. Oh, you're right. Okay, sorry, fine. So I have a different answer. Ela kalava chamura mishach shayta. Actually, it's not a problem. Because his original chiyav is the chiyav that's already subsumed now in the original, and I now have a chiyav of chenet. And the chiyav of sayat before subsumes that, right? So therefore, I mean, the Sayyaf is even more Chomer, remember. Chenek is the least of the Chomeres, at least according to the Tanakhama. So, he really was Chayev Chenek before. He was even more Chayev than Chenek. Correct? Because he was Chayev even Sayyaf. Okay, so that's not called a change.
Why would you say Mishach Shayyaf, not Nechwel?
That's what Mishach Shayyaf means in Aramaic. Sa'eni chalarabanan da amri Sayyaf Chamor. No, wait. If Sayyaf is more Chomer, you're right. But suppose you hold like Rabbi Shimon holds that Chenek is Chomer. So now, before he was Chayav in the lesser, not in the greater. So it couldn't have subsumed also the Chenek. So how do you explain that? So Michael, what are you going to say then? I got no problem. Because we already saw Rav Shimon Alzik Asadat Vei Menashe, who holds Kol Mitaha Murali Vnei Noach in Elachenek. He was Chayachenek in the first place. Now he's Chayachenek again. So it works out beautifully. Oh yeah? It's cute. Except it no longer works out for Rotzeach. Because now the Rotzeach was when he was Chayachenek, and now it's Chayachenek. And so now it's the Nishtana Mitato in the other case. Oh, you're getting yourself into this. So now Bishle the Eshatish. Okay, so now Eshatish, Mikor Chenek and Hashta Chenek, according to Rabbi Shimon. We all take the time of Menashe. But the Rotzeach was Chayev Chenek before, and now he's Chayev Sayev. That's right. So what? The Chenek is more Chomer. Remember, we're going like Rabbi Shimon. So it all works out anyway. So now the Kala Bechomer, Mishav Shek, we already said. We can subsume the greater fear and the lesser fear. Okay, so I got you. So you don't have a question now. So let's see if we can prove Rabbi Chanina's contention. Leiman is Sayelet. Sarchav Yachakach Bagra. Suppose we have a Nara Urasa who sleeps with a guy and then she becomes a Bogeret. And this is similar to the case here because we've got a change in the status. And it says over here, Tidon Bechenek. Now, her Misa at this point, even though what she did at the time was a Chiyav Skila, her Misa has become a Chiyav of Chenek. Now, why? The Skila of my time alone, why isn't she Chayav at Skila? Lav Mishum Dohoel the Ishtani, Ishtani. So, obviously, it's because of the change now in her. The Koshikain Achad Ishtani Lagamre. And now, in the equivalent case by Rabbi Chanina, where there's been a total change, even in the way in which we're done, forget about the Misa, that Rabbi Chanina is justified in saying that when you're totally Ishtani, whether it's in terms of Dino or in terms of Mitato, you'd be Potter completely, because we can't now give you this new Chiyav. Says the Gemara, well, it would have been a nice riot, except for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said, excuse me, you got that wrong. Instead of saying she's Chayevet in Chenek, say she's chayavet in skiwa, because that's the halacha, because even though she was ishtani, it doesn't change anything. Her ishtani is basically a physical ishtani, but her chiyav misa is the same as it was before. Why should we be makel now and give her less because of what she would have done now? Her status is exactly the same. Her chiyavim are exactly the same. So we're saying, okay, but she was already chayav on it from before, so... So what? So why can't I be done from before? So this has nothing to do, really, with what Rabbi Chanina said. Gentlemen, it's been fun. So we'll move on.